in the first book of Thessalonians in chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. Excuse me. First Thessalonians chapter 4. I want to look at verse 13 and 14 here tonight to kind of get our thought from. Verse 13 says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Our thought tonight is really we have two thoughts, kind of the same thing, but kind of two thoughts. But our main thought is this: we have hope. We have hope. But what this passage means to me is that when you look around, this is not all that it is. I've read this passage of Scripture more times than I would like to have had a graveside. And the reason I read that is because the Bible teaches us here that we should not sorrow as we lower or put someone into the ground. We should not sorrow over that, but that is especially if you have hope. And that's kind of our thought tonight, in that we have hope. You notice the Bible says here, when we look at this passage of Scripture, first off, it says this, that when you have no hope, you have sorrow. When you have no hope, you have sorrow. He says, "Let us not sorrow, even as others which have no hope." Now we could say I believe we could say this, that no doubt that the apostle here is talking about those who are asleep or have died, and he tells them, he says, "I do not want you to be ignorant in this subject." But that being said, I believe we can very easily broaden that scope. And not just the fact that we may sorrow, if we have no hope, we may sorrow at the grave or towards the grave or even think about our own self in that grave. But I believe we can broaden that scope to say this, that if we in this life have no hope, and when I say that, I mean this, when we in this life, if we are in this life without the Lord Jesus Christ, you have sorrow. Now, I know people will maybe say, "No, that's not true." People may even argue the point that I don't have the Lord and I'm just fine. I tell you what, I think first and foremost they're lying to themselves, because every person that I've ever come into contact with thinks about death, because there's. It's too much of a constant, isn't it, in this life? Death is certain. Even in this world, you know this saying just as well as I do. Even in this world, there are two certainties. You're going to die and pay taxes, right? I mean, everybody says that. There's only two things you have to do: pay taxes and die. And I know that's a silly, maybe a silly saying, but there's a half truth there. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Amen. What do you reckon scares people the most, death or judgment? I believe judgment should, but, you know, I guess they kind of go hand in hand, don't they? And he says, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." It's hard to... I'll get off the funeral thing here in a minute. But it's hard to preach a funeral for somebody who you don't know is truly saved. But, on the other hand, it's hard to preach a funeral to somebody that is saved, but it's a little easier. It's a little easier on the mind and on the conscience and on the soul and upon the understanding of where they're at, right? Because you know just as well as they do that they had hope.
Amen.
It's easier to preach a funeral for someone who has a great hope in salvation, a hope in the Lord, and a great, and I believe this is what this word means here, hope, has a great expectation of where they're going. A matter of fact, when you look it up in Strong's, the word hope there says this, confidence, faith, or to anticipate, usually with pleasure. To anticipate, usually with pleasure. So, again, when we look at that and we think others which have no hope, then they have no confidence. They have no faith. They have no anticipation, or they do have anticipation, but they have no pleasure in that anticipation. And there's a law, isn't it? There's a natural law written in the hearts of all men, whether they deny it or not, that says there's something after death.
Right. Amen.
There's something after death. And what a terrible thing that would be. In my life, especially what I know, what little I know, if I had to wake up tomorrow and not have any great anticipation looking for heaven, looking to be with the Lord. Tonight, are you saved? If you are, you have hope. We have hope. We have hope. We have a great anticipation. We have a great anticipation looking for the pleasure. And you know what? When we talk about heaven and being with the Lord and all the things that come with that, listen, pleasure does not really even do justice to it, does it? We have a perfection to look forward to. We have a eternal day to ever be in the glory of God. We don't have to worry about a lot of the things that we worry about, or none of the things that we worry about in this life. They're gone. But we have a hope. We have a hope in this night. I would pray that if you have no hope, if you're without the Lord, that you would look to the Lord tonight.
Amen. Amen.
That you would seek Him while He may be found. Because the Bible says, behold, today is the day of salvation. I have a hope in eternity, but you know what? My hope of tomorrow may not come. And yours may not neither. You may not, and I'm not trying to scare you. I've been down that road before, but this is a fact. You may not make it home tonight. Preacher, whenever I was growing up, I remember a young preacher, I can't remember who it was, I think I do, but I wouldn't swear to it. He said the gas that will be in the hearse that will take you to your grave may be in the hearse right now.
Right.
I don't know. Growing up under Armenian tongues, they used a lot of scare tactics, amen? And I'm not trying to scare you, but I'm trying to point out to you the reality of the situation.
Amen.
You may not make it tomorrow, but you know, if you have a hope, that's okay, because if I don't make it tomorrow, I'll be with the Lord. I'll be with the Lord. Amen. And I have a great anticipation. And if you do not, I pray that you will look to the Lord even tonight, if you can, unto the Lord, that you might be saved. We walk in this world. If you go with me to 1 John in chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, we walk in an ungodly world. We walk in a sad, pathetic world for in itself, and that does not really consider God. We live in a world that all that it constitutes, all this world constitutes this world. I say it that way. It's what the Scripture says here is the lust of the flesh. And look with me here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all, notice this, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17, and the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I heard a preacher preach a message a long time back. It was a recording I got off the internet, and he said, this is the world's obituary. It passeth away.
Amen.
When we walk in this world, dearly beloved, when we walk in this world and we look around, and what do we see? What do we see? I mean, the Lord is beautiful. The Lord has created a lot of beautiful things. He's created, His creation is beautiful. But you know, when I say when I walk around in this world, I'm not talking about when I see a tree or the grass or the skies or the star. I'm talking about when we look at the world and what constitutes this world. We see wickedness, don't we? When we look at the financial world, when we look at the political world, sometimes when we even look at the religious world, what do we see? We see the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. He says, this is all this world is. There ain't much here for us, is it? There ain't much here for us. He says, the world passeth away. Don't put very much stock into this world. Don't look at this world as that's it, because it isn't. This world's going to go one of these days. It's going to pass away. The Scripture says the Lord is going to fold it up and put it away like an old garment. Peter says He's going to burn it with a fervent heat. You know why He's going to do all that? You know why this world is going old? Because it's wicked. You know why it's going to be burned up one day? Because it's wicked. And listen, we live in this world. And if we're not careful and we get to looking around this world, we may get a little upset. We may get a little discouraged. But know this. Don't sorrow even as others sorrow and have no hope. Because we have hope. We have hope. All that is in this world is a longing to satisfy the flesh. Ain't that sad? That is sad for many reasons. But I want you to rejoice tonight that if you know the Lord, that it's not all that you do. Because, and the reason I say that is this, because if it had not been the Lord intervening in your life, all you would do is try to satisfy your flesh. Because really, honestly, that's all you could do. Because you need to satisfy your flesh here tonight. And when we say that, we know that there's a lot of things that crosses through our minds, and that really is just a wide range of everything that you encounter in your life. Anything that you can do to keep yourself busy that you do not think about a future eternity, you look to this world to do that. Amen? You look to this world, whether it be work, whether it be play, hobby, or whatever it may be. You may look to this world and you may look to the things in this world to keep your mind off eternity.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Quit doing that and think about eternity. There's only one thing that matters in this life, and that's your eternal soul.
Amen.
Think about eternity for a moment. And if you're saved, think about eternity. And you can rejoice in it because you got hope.
Amen.
That this world is not all that it is. Amen? This world is not all that it is. Hebrews chapter 11. I like this passage of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 11, and Abraham here, when we see him in verse 8, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Notice this, verse 10. He looked for a city whose foundations, I'm sorry, which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Listen, if you will, just let me skip to verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but seeing them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed. Notice this, that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return, to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Let me tell you something tonight. Abraham, by faith, looked for a better country. Amen. Don't think that because it was the Old Testament, they didn't have faith. Amen. They had faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is all about the Old Testament saints who did what they did by faith. Don't ever think that in the Old Testament, that the Old Testament saints were saved by any other thing but by the grace of God. Because they were saved by faith in the grace of God, or by grace, by faith in God, by the grace of God, they were saved. Amen. They looked forward. Amen. The Bible says there in Hebrews that they had not received the promises, but they looked for them. They were persuaded of them, and they embraced them. I mean, you know what they were looking? They were looking toward Jesus Christ. And they were looking for an eternity with the Lord. He says, this is their testimony. We're strangers and pilgrims. We're strangers and pilgrims in this old land. By faith, they looked. They looked by faith unto heaven. They looked by faith to consider themselves an apostle. I mean, by a pilgrim and a stranger. By faith, amen. You know, every day it seems like in our life that this world gets stranger and stranger. But to some, it seems to be more and more what they want. But to me, it gets stranger. The ways of people are strange. The way that people think are strange. And I tell you, it goes beyond just simply somebody that gives their life over to homosexuality. That gives their life over to killing children by abortion. That gives their life over to cross-dressing. But you know what seems stranger to me, really, than that, is the people who say they are not those things and yet promote it. You know, I've likened it like this. If I said to you, I'm not a thief, but I'm right behind every thief that wants to be a thief. You say, you're crazy, aren't you? And I would be crazy. It's just like a person who's not a homosexual saying, I'm right behind the homosexuals. To me, it makes just as much sense. It's crazy. The thoughts of the people are rapidly becoming the same way they were in the days of Noah. Amen. The Bible says in the days of Noah, The only thoughts were only evil continually. Amen. And it said this. This is what always strikes me with the things of the day of Noah. The Bible says they corrupted His way. I believe that's God's way. They corrupted God's way in this earth. And we see that happening in our world today. You know, not only do we see it happening in our world, but it's happening all over the world.
That's right.
In the days of Noah, it was happening all over the world. Listen, lift up your heads. Your redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
The Lord's coming back, people. It may be 100 years. I'm not going to tell you I know, but I know this is it's closer than it was yesterday.
Right.
And if He comes back tonight or tomorrow, you've been warned. And I'm not surprised, right? Because I don't see of any other thing holding the Lord back other than maybe there's somebody here tonight that needs to be saved.
Amen.
And I know the Lord's not going to come back until He saves all His people.
Right.
And I tell you what, I'm thankful for that. I'm so thankful that the Lord is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to the knowledge of Him.
Amen.
Not one of His people is going to be lost.
Right.
And so, something else that we find about this world is it's not our home. This world is not all that it is. I mean, what a sad situation it would be. And don't get me wrong here tonight. I don't want to be perceived as being miserable in this world. I'm not miserable. I'm not miserable. I'm happy. Amen. I'm happy in this world. I'm thankful for the salvation the Lord has given me. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my church. I'm just thankful for so many things the Lord has done for me. I mean, I'm not miserable. Don't get me wrong. But this world is not my home.
Amen.
I'm just passing through. As the song says, my treasure's laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Jesus says this, and John chapter 14, in verses 1 through 3, some of my favorite verses of Scripture. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The Lord says, and I always like to point out, the Lord gives us a promise here, that one day's days, I'm going to be with the Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to be with the Lord. You know, the Lord's with me right now. He is. But yet, one of these days, I'm going to be with the Lord.
Amen.
I want to be with the Lord. And I'm thankful tonight that that be the case. Back in our text in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4, we want to read another little bit here. Verse 17. Well, let's just start reading verse 13 again down through the end of the chapter. But he says here, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. You know, this world is not all that it is. And as I said before, I've read this passage of Scripture by many gravesides. And I often want to point out to the people, listen, when you sit here and you see this grave, this is not all that it is. This is not all that it is. Because one of these days, you know what's going to happen? The Lord's going to come back, and we're going to come out of this grave.
Right.
We're going to come out of this grave. Wouldn't it be a shame to live your life just to be put in a hole? Wouldn't you hate to live like that? Wouldn't you hate to live and to believe that you're nothing more than a dog or a monkey or any kind of other animal, that you just die and that's it? That you just die and you're placed in a cold grave and that's it? That would be a terrible existence. But, thank the Lord, that's not the way it is.
Amen.
We have hope. We have hope. When either, whether it be myself or whether it's somebody else that we put into the ground, we have hope. That's not it. That's not it. I mean, we're just fulfilling the Scriptures. From dust we came, from dust we shall return. But one of these days, the Lord's going to come back, and He's going to draw us out of the ground. I believe that Paul relays something here to us that every generation has desired. Paul says, then we which are alive. You know what he's saying? First of all, he's saying, Lord could come back anytime. But he's also saying this, I'm looking forward to seeing the Lord when He comes.
Amen.
And I believe every generation has had a desire to be alive when the Lord returns. And you know that's okay. But I want you to notice something in this passage of Scripture, that if you're dead and in the ground, you're going first.
Right.
If you're dead and in the ground, you're going first. Then we which are alive and remain. So either way, it's fine, right?
Right.
It's fine. Either way, it's good. So I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that in every generation, every person who's probably ever lived has had this same thought, that is saved and has desired to see the Lord come. I want to see the Lord come when He comes. And, you know, that may be the case. That may be the case. And even in that, we find this thought, we have hope. Amen.
Amen.
If you're lost tonight, you don't want to see the Lord come.
Right.
If you're lost tonight, I don't want to see the Lord come for you neither. But for me, I'm ready to go.
Right.
It's settled in heaven. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's settled. I'm good. Amen. As we find when the maybe the song or whatever says, whenever I die, don't cry for me. Don't cry for me. I'm in heaven. Cry for yourself if you know not the Lord. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We find that this tells us something here as well about that old grave. 1 Corinthians 15. We just want to look at verses 55 here, 6 and 7. He says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
O grave, he says, where is thy victory? You know, I can go to the grave knowing that it ain't got no victory over me. There ain't no victory in that grave. He says, O grave, where is thy victory? You know, there is no victory. But there is victory in Jesus.
Amen.
There is victory in Jesus. We have hope. We have hope. Nothing too hard for the Lord. When the Lord returns in all His power, in all His majesty, in all His glory and all His splendor, He's going to say, come hither, come up hither.
Amen.
And listen, you know what? If it's 200 years from now, 1,000 years from now, and our bodies are nothing but dust in the ground, you know what's going to happen? That old dust is going to, it's going to obey God.
Amen.
John chapter 11, you know the story, you don't have to turn there, but Lazarus, Jesus goes to the grave and He says, roll the stone back.
Amen.
And they said, Lord, He's been dead 4 days. He's already stinking. The Lord says, roll the stone back. He said, didn't I tell you that if you believe, you should see the power of God? And Jesus yelled into that tomb or spoke into that tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth.
Right.
And Lazarus came out of that grave, didn't he? Lazarus, being dead for 4 days, all hope was gone, right? But all hope wasn't gone.
Right.
All hope wasn't gone. When we lay people in the ground, all hope is not gone.
Amen.
We have hope, people. I mean, we have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. When that coffin goes in the ground 6 foot, listen, it's only going to be there for just a little bit. The body is. The Lord's going to call it out. We have hope in Jesus Christ. There is no victory in that cold ground because we have victory in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lazarus, Mary and Martha said, you know, oh, if you would have been here, amen, if you would have been here a few days ago, you could have healed him. You could have healed him of his sickness. All hope was gone for them. But the Lord restored that hope, didn't He?
Amen.
The Lord said, Lazarus, come forth. And he did. Come forth. He got up and walked out of the grave. I tell you what, one of these days, it's going to happen again. A little bit larger scale, but it's going to happen again. Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. I don't know how the Lord's going to do it. I don't even pretend to know how He's going to do it. I'm not even going to speculate on how He's going to do it. But you know what I believe? I believe when the Lord comes back, I'm going to hear my name called. And you know why? Because I believe that if Jesus would have cried out into that cave, just simply, dead, come forth, I believe every person would have come out of that grave that would have been dead. Because I don't understand it a whole lot, but what I do understand is in that day, they buried more than one person per grave. They put them in a cave, and then maybe the next relative go in that cave. And if Jesus would have just simply said, dead, come forth, I believe every dead person in that cave would have obeyed the Lord and walked out. But He didn't say, dead, come forth. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. Lazarus got up and left all the bones behind him and walked out, right? What I'm getting at is, we have hope in Jesus Christ, and whenever He comes back, whenever the Lord comes back, and we're sitting there in the ground, listen, I believe we're going to hear our voice called, and we're going to be out of there. We're going to be gone. How's the Lord going to do that? I don't know. How's the Lord in every place at all times right now? I don't know. I'm too carnal to understand these things. But the Lord saved my soul, and I believe Him. Amen. He's given me faith that I understand that I believe in the Lord, that He's at all places at all times and can do whatever He wants to. I thank the Lord tonight. Thank the Lord tonight for an understanding and a hope that this is not all it is. There's something waiting, folks. Whether you're lost or whether you're saved here tonight, there's something waiting for you. There's something waiting. Again, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52 says this, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
Amen.
Not only do I have a better home, an eternal home, a perfect home, not only do I have a hope that when I go into the grave that the Lord's going to raise me up, I also have another hope that I'm going to have a glorified body.
Amen.
We're going to be in the likeness of Christ's resurrection, aren't we? We're going to have we're going to be incorruptible. You know what? I can't understand that. Because I live every day of my life in a corrupted body. I live every day of my life in a mortal body. But I want to be incorruptible and immortal.
Amen.
Immortal. Amen. I'm going to enjoy an eternal day with the Lord and an incorruptible, immortal body. I'm going to enjoy a body that'll never feel any more aches and pains. I will be with the Lord enjoying that in a body that no tears, at least no tears of sorrow will ever shed down these cheeks again.
Amen.
I'll live in a body that doesn't have to worry about death, that doesn't have to worry about any death for anybody else. I won't have to worry about any more departings. I'll be with the Lord every day for that eternity without any more disappointments, without any more sorrows, any more pain, no more afflictions. Listen, we have hope. We have hope. Do not sorrow as others which have no hope. Understand tonight, if you're saved, you got hope. Amen. You have a hope. You have an anticipation of a greater tomorrow, of a greater eternity. You can have an anticipation, if you will, a hope, a belief, a looking forward to something better. Amen? Without this hope, how do you make it through the day? Without this hope, how do you go on in times of trouble, in times of adversity, in times of trials? How do you go on without this hope? I don't know. If you've not settled this in your heart, I pray once again for you. Paul said this, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." My heart's desire and prayer for you is that you might be saved. That you might seek after the Lord while He may be found. That you may have a hope. That you may have a hope of a better place in this world. That you may have a hope of a resurrection. That you have a hope of a glorified body through Jesus Christ our Lord. This world, this is not all that it is, people.
Amen.
This is not all that it is. This is just a handbreadth. This is but a vapor that is here one moment and gone the next. How long of a life did Methuselah live? 969 years. Yet Methuselah's been dead for how long? Or been gone? 5,000 years. Right? 1,000 years seems like a long time, but when you put it in light of eternity, it's nothing.
Right.
Amazing Grace says we'll be there 10,000 years, and we've just begun.
Amen.
Well, you know, that even in itself is just a carnal way of helping us to understand eternity, because there will be no such thing as years, months. We won't be driven by a time anymore. We won't be driven by daylight. We won't be worried about going to bed, getting so much sleep. Amen. But we understand. We have understandings in the Scripture given for our sake that a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years with a day. Those are for us. Amen. There is no time with the Lord. There is no time as we know time. But I just say that to say, you know, if you know not the Lord, I pray that you'll seek after Him. If it's burdening your heart tonight that you're lost and you have no hope, listen, I know this. I believe I know this, that it's the Lord burdening your heart. If it's a desire on your heart to know the Lord, it's the Lord.
Right.
It's the Lord working on you. Seek Him. Amen. Seek Him while He may be found. Look towards Him. Because if the Lord's dealing with you, He'll save you. If the Lord's dealing with you, He'll save you. He never starts a work and doesn't finish it.